Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working in...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. This is a warm summer's day in Denver, as well as Kabul, Afghanistan, but a little more tense over there.
But it's Party Friday.
It's Party Friday, and it's Party Friday for those who get on the planes out of Kabul also.
Now that they're running them again.
Just slight pause for you. But our show is brought to you by, as always,
AmericasCitizenPress.com, great conservative website. They're featuring the column that Tom Tancredo wrote that we talked to him about on Wednesday. You might want to check that out. And also Dr. Julie McCowan, our family doctor, Chuck's doctor, just cannot recommend her more. She's just fantastic all the way around. So Chuck, another day, another debacle.
Another day, another debacle. But I do want to start off, and I just came up with this, Julie.
This is how fun we plan the show. Chuck and I, okay, here's my notes, guys. This is my notes. I have lengthy notes, 1, 2, 3. Chuck and I go over this, and I'm like, okay, are we good at this? And I'm like, and he's like, yes. And then?
And then I come up with another. But I just want to point out that at this point at the Kabul airport, you have 6,000 troops. You got lots of planes. You have tens of thousands or 10,000 Afghanis who were opposed to the Taliban rule and the Taliban rulers. They're all squeezed in within a very small area on the military side of the airport. And the Taliban are really, in their own way, keeping control, because how much would it take for Al-Qaeda member just go to the other side of the military side and lob in a few hand grenades? Or actually... If that's a little too high tech, then just take some Molotov cocktails and throw them at the crowd.
Well, no, they've got Black Hawk helicopters now. I'm not talking about
the Taliban itself doing it, but have a lot of whacked out people in Afghanistan, and it must be very tough for the Taliban to keep them all from just saying, well, just slaughter these people who are trying to leave
our country. Those military people, I mean, you do have to admire them. That's going to be tense. But yeah, so Joe Biden, if you didn't, we'll break this down for you. Joe Biden gave a speech today. He canceled his vacation to Delaware again to give a speech about this stupid Afghanistan thing. And once again, it just goes south badly. I think, you know, I don't always agree with Chris Wallace, but I agree
with never agree with Chris Wallace. I'll say this one time.
This one time where he said, Biden, the underlying problem here is the reality of the situation.
It's not the messaging.
No.
The messaging is okay.
Sucky.
It may be bad, but it's okay. But only when you compare, when the message is, don't pay any attention to real facts.
Right. I mean, you've got this horrible, heartbreaking, dangerous, you name it, negative adjective situation in Afghanistan. The reality that is totally the result of Joe Biden botching the withdrawal. You know, you can't avoid that. But what the president is doing, and this became clear in his speech, is, as one of the reporters said, he's living in this alternate reality where everything's hunky-dory, where the Taliban are just these nice, polite people who let the Americans and anyone who wants to go to the airport. And if anyone isn't at the airport, those Afghan people, they just didn't want to leave, where everybody widely admires him internationally for the way he's been handling this. And I mean, none of which is true. There was, and we'll play the soundbite later, Jennifer Griffin, you could watch. And she, I mean, she was like mad and she was like incredulous watching her on Fox. She was like, I couldn't keep up the fact checking. She's like, basically, she's like, everything he said was a lie.
Well, just remember when Joe Biden really came into his own form, he ran for president in 1988, and he came out with an amazing rapid fire lie about, I you know, if you want to check my IQ, I'm as bright as anybody. I finished the top of my class in law school. Lie. I had 2 degrees from undergrad, lie. I was the only person with a full scholarship, lie. I mean, it was an amazing, you know, 10 minutes or 5 minutes of reciting all lies and easily checkable lies, really. But he hasn't changed, and now he just did it again.
And that's what's, and we'll get it, we're going to break down the lies, but that's what's particularly scary about this. We have a president who, and advisors who, for whatever reason, appear to be happy in their alternate universe where everything is hunky-dory and there are no Americans in danger and everybody's happy and gas prices aren't going up and everything's Trump's fault if it's anything.
And, well, and tomato prices are going down.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's, I mean, which is scary because clearly he's not dealing with it. The speech, he was competent, but he was stumbling. He was clearly reading from the teleprompter. He only took questions from pre-scripted five reporters, although the reporters did ask hard questions. It seems like, I mean, the media, it's playing out in TV and on social media in real time, every day. So, I mean, they had to acknowledge it. But I wanted to go through some of the lies. Okay, I think the biggest lie and the most dangerous lie.
Well, you could rate them on your own.
Okay, this is my biggest. And people can call in, or go ahead if you're on Zoom, if you want to pop in and comment too. Call in is 888-627-6008. If you're listening and you want to join us on Zoom, you just go to zoom.us and the meeting number is 209-576-423. That's 209-576-423.
And if you're in Afghanistan, the international code is...
Yeah, the same thing. 209-576-423. Here's the thing. The biggest lie to me is when Biden says, hey, people can get to the airport. American, now if they get there, of course, they have to pay for their own plane flight, which is ridiculous. And I guess they're changing their tune on that. But he said...
You had to sign a promise.
He said there is no indication that the Taliban is interfering with any Americans getting to the airport.
And you just hold up your American...
You just hold up your passport.
Hey, it's an American.
You know, now, in the meantime, though, earlier today, the defense secretary, so you'd think he might have mentioned this to the president, briefed Congress and said, yes, they do have a lot of reports of the Taliban beating Americans.
That was absolutely
who are trying, oh, it was afterwards, who are trying to get there. But that's play. So the president is standing there asserting that people can get to the airport because he's working with the very polite Taliban folks. Thomas, if we could play the ABC video, please.
I'm going to get to our senior foreign correspondent, Ian Pennell, with us live on the ground in Kabul, where he has been for many days now. And Ian, I want to get right to something the president was pressed on there from our own Stephanie Ramos, who was there at the White House. She asked about Americans and Afghans who are in Kabul and beyond, who are trying to get to that airport. But as you have reported for many nights on World News Tonight, the Taliban controls the checkpoint, the Taliban and convoys around that country. How do you get those families to the airport? The president said he has no intelligence that Americans have been unable to get there. The question, obviously, does that square with reporting on the ground?
I mean, just totally not. I mean, the reaction was pretty much one of, I mean, it was breathtaking. No indication Americans can't get to the airport. I mean, last night on World News, we had American citizens who had exactly that experience. They tried to get to the airport. They had waived their American passports. The president talked about all they had to do was present their passports and they'd be allowed through. They were beaten by the Taliban with the rubber fan belt from a vehicle. Multiple examples of Americans and Afghans, SIV applicants, who have now tried repeatedly. There's one woman we're tracking. She's back at the airport tonight. This is her third night in the row. The gates haven't opened. The Taliban haven't let her through. It just seems the reality and the rhetoric are miles apart. I'm not quite sure what advice the president's receiving, but the truth on the ground is that these people who are in fear of their lives can't get through.
And again, how stupid does he think we are? I mean, we've report after report, either that or he's pretty stupid. And that's if he true. Thinks that, I mean, you know, I think the speech badly backfires. And that's why I have another soundbite where this is another news organization was interviewing somebody who couldn't get out and they were scared. So if we could play the trapped resident soundbite now too, Thomas, please.
It is insane. There are people holding their American passports. There are people that work with the Americans they're not letting anyone in. We are in huge danger and we need help.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard reports of the Taliban going door to door, looking for journalists, looking for interpreters, looking for their families. People are in hiding. And yet Joe Biden insists, repeatedly he insisted in that news conference, that all they had to do was just get to the airport.
Well, for the last year and a half, not a single American soldier has lost his life. But that doesn't mean the combat going on in Afghanistan has been incredibly bloody. Including enormous amount of Taliban fighters and others, innocent civilians, as always happens, being killed. And lots of army members being killed, tens of thousands. And so the idea that this is just some vacation spot.
That you can send a sternly worded, you know, comment. This is from Sandra. At least Biden said one thing correct. He has no intelligence. I think you're right, Sandra. Maybe that's what he meant. Maybe we're misinterpreting him. Well, another lie that I want to talk about is he said, hey, we're doing all we can. We're doing everything we can. He went on at great length once again to talk about what a wonderful job he did in terms of going through with the withdrawal, completely ignoring the complete debacle that the actual withdrawal has been. And he said, you know, we've got all these troops there, la, 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 they're doing this, they're doing that. But again, he kept refusing and is still refusing to let them do the one thing that they need to do, which is to go get American citizens and allies.
Well, I don't know where they are.
Well, and they don't, yes. And Jennifer Griffin, we'll play that bite in a little bit. She said, part of the problem is all of our partners and our allies are gone. So you've got some military guys there. What are you going to do? Put them in a Humvee and say, okay, you need to go to 138 Locust Street in Afghanistan.
Get GPS going.
Yeah. I mean, it's what are they supposed to do? All of our partners, because this was so botched. I mean, anyone could have predicted that this was going to happen. We needed to get the people out.
Well, you're implying that the people have been criticizing Biden internationally. He put a fright to that.
Well, let me, but check, we're in my order. We're in my order here. Okay.
We gotta get Julie's order.
But one thing about the lie too, this was interesting. So in this news conference where his own people had to fact check him afterwards, the Pentagon spokesperson said, he was asked, well, what happens if we, you know, if people need to get help getting to the airport? He said, well, they will examine options. Mm. It's like, well, that's great. Oh, and another lie that the president said before I play the soundbite, he said that they had helped the military, did a rescue mission and went over the wall and got 169 people back, right? Mm-hmm. I'm implying that they were going out into the city to get them. Right. Okay, well, the Pentagon, his own people fact checked him on that and said, well, actually, it was more of an assistance than a rescue. Actually, they were just like there
at the door
and we opened it.
Them in.
And we would do that again. We would do that again in a heartbeat. Now, if they needed more help than that, we will, quote, examine the options.
Yeah, no.
But if we could play, and this was another good soundbite where, again, on Fox News, they were talking about what the president really needs to do and just refuses to do. So if we could play the Fox News number one soundbite, please.
Roughly 6,000 U.S. troops now on the ground in Kabul at the airport, but they are under strict orders not to leave to rescue any potential Americans or vulnerable Afghans in downtown Kabul.
Is there a deal with the Taliban that restricts U.S. forces to the airport?
No. There's no deal that restricts forces to the airport, but, Brett, that's where the mission is. There are reports British and French forces are leaving the airport to go downtown and rescue their people. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin recently said U.S. forces don't have the capability to rescue large numbers of people in downtown Kabul. Officials say more U.S. troops would be required. This as U.S. Air Force evacuation flights continue to ramp up. Nearly 6,000 people evacuated aboard 16 Air Force C-17s. That's over 300 people per flight, over max capacity aboard the aircraft. Now billions of American arms in the hands of the Taliban, the U.S. taxpayer funding the Afghan army to the tune of $85 billion over the past 20 years. President Biden said the following about those forces last month.
Provided our Afghan partners with all the tools, let me emphasize, all the tools, training equipment of any modern military. We provided advanced weaponry, and we're going to continue to provide funding and equipment.
Now, over 600,000 American weapons are in the hands of the Taliban. Over 75,000 vehicles, mostly armored Humvees and pickup trucks, and over 200 aircraft, including helicopter gunships. But right now, the U.S. government is counting on the Taliban to help Americans and vulnerable Afghans get access to the airport, since the U.S. military is not leaving the wire.
I mean, that's what's ridiculous. And he didn't address that at all. The Taliban has all of that. And then I'm going to pick on Mark Poff in a second, Mark, so just so you're ready. But check now, here's your lie. The other big lie, no international criticism. He's not aware.
None whatsoever. It's just a myth. I don't know where people thought of that. I mean, he was incredulous. The reporter would say that.
The UN Parliament condemned him, calling it a failure of intelligence on a number of fronts, I think, Sandra, leadership and moral duty. I mean, all you have to do is Google international reaction to
Biden.
And he's being slammed.
Well, Absolutely. What are you talking about? I've heard of no criticism. None.
None whatsoever. Well, let me call on Mark if you can, if you don't mind. Mark Poff, who is joined us there on Zoom. You know, you're a former El Paso County Sheriff investigator. You've done, you know, missions, you know, granted, not like this, but your thought, have you ever seen anything like this?
I'm actually stunned. From everything that I've seen, I actually didn't even think a Democrat would do something like this. But you know, one of the things that really concerned me is, remember back, and I think you just showed a little clip from Biden about a month ago when he said, hey, don't worry about the Afghanis. They've got 300,000 troops. And I was just like, you're so stupid. It's going to fall within a week to 10 days. Well, somebody asked at the end of that, asked him, look, you know, you have all these Afghanis that have helped us, the interpreters that are all doing the paperwork to come to our country. Why can't you just fly them all over now to the U.S. and then process the paperwork here? And he turned and goes, well, that would be illegal. There's laws in place. You have to do paperwork before you can just come into our country. And I'm thinking, the southern border, we're letting
everybody in. Why am I flying down to the southern border?
That should have been their plan. They should have taken them all down.
Out to Tijuana.
I mean, let them
climb to Mexico and let them walk in.
Walk. It would be way safer.
I mean, our reputation, I actually agree with the fact that we should have gotten out of Afghanistan sooner. And it sounds to me from what I've seen that Donald Trump wanted to get out as well. But it sounds like some advisors said, look, you know, there's certain things that have to happen to do this in an organized fashion. And it looks like Biden just basically said, to hell with everybody. Yeah. I don't care if they get killed. And what's going to happen? There's going to be massive death. I mean, in fact, it's probably already happened. We just don't know yet. But how many Americans are going to be ransomed?
Oh, that's my question too. So we're right now, the IMF, International Monetary Fund has frozen roughly $500 million in Afghan assets, and we've frozen it here. Now, I don't know. I keep saying I'm not a military terrorist strategist, but if I were them, I would get myself a picture of a bunch of Americans sitting with hoods and their hands, you know, cuffed, right, and said, right, hey, IMF, you want to release the funds or we're going to start hanging people every half hour?
Right. Well, you have to remember that Obama traded for Bro Bergdahl not only $5 billion or $4 billion.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, so one traitor. I mean, they can just say, okay, we got 100 of you innocent guys here. How about $500 billion?
Well, Jimmy Carter had his hostages in the Iranian, you know, in the embassy. You know, Joe Biden is going to have potentially hundreds of kidnapped individuals, hostages throughout the country that we have no idea where they are.
Right.
I mean, Biden needs to change his name to Jimmy, but really that doesn't give Jimmy Carter any credit.
Right.
Because, I mean, Jimmy Carter, at least he tried. He didn't understand. Joe Biden, I mean, I don't understand. Is he completely inept or he just doesn't care? I mean, it's our reputation.
You got to let Obama say you must never underestimate what Joe Biden can screw up.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I think some of us really didn't think he could do something this big. And it would actually be humorous to watch, except for the fact that people are dying.
Right.
And our reputation and billions of dollars of equipment
that
Biden was bragging about that now the Taliban have. And it seems like we're shipping in more because they said the C-17s are coming in with equipment and then leaving with people. So we're putting more equipment there?
Yeah, right. And it's not just going to the Taliban. It's going to Pakistan. It's going all over the place.
How many of them, when you see these videos, when you watch on TV from inside of Afghanistan, how many are carrying M16s?
Oh, yeah.
Half of them are carrying M16s now. Where did they get these?
Right. And they're not driving in pickups anymore. They're flying Black Hawk helicopters. And I was reading some idiot analyst who's like, whoa, they'll have trouble when they break. I'm like, what? I mean, they're in pack. I mean, you know, the Russians are there, the Chinese are there. Let me ask you about just a final question from me. Yeah. But in your experience, I know, again, you never had to probably do anything like this. But on one hand, it would seem like, well, how hard would it be for the soldiers and what kind of resources do they need or should they have had to go door to door to rescue people? It's like I was saying, it's not like they probably can just plug it into their iPhone and put in some address like we could do here, maybe.
Right. I'm pretty sure the embassy has a lot of locations of where these individuals are at. And, you know, it's a convoy. It's just like when you see the movie Black Hawk Down, you know, which is a terrible movie to equate to this. But you'd come out of that airport with a caravan. I'm not sure they have the equipment. You know, they've said, again, Biden said, we have all this equipment and everything in place to do this. He clustered this so bad. I'm not sure they have the equipment like they're saying. And the worst thing you can do is bring in more Blackhawks, bring in more, you know, Humvees to go do this. And then I think what Biden's concerned about is he doesn't want any military loss of life. So that's why he's not letting out the troops from outside of that airport. Why did they give up the other military airfield that they had? I mean, they've so screwed this up. But
they didn't have enough troops to be able to guard both. They go, well, then why don't you increase the number of troops to have both?
Well, and here's the thing, too, thinking about those convoys, like you said, it's one thing if you're in a convoy and you're exiting from an American base, right? But here, they're going to have to come out of there into these perimeters of Taliban fighters who now have all are as equally armed as us, right? So that's going to be another, they let it get to that situation. They let the Taliban increase their forces, increase their soldiers, get better arms, and now we're screwed. I mean, I think for all practical purposes, maybe the reason they aren't doing that is because they actually can't. I mean, they open the door, and if you're if I'm a Taliban fighter and I see a convoy of Americans going out, now I know they got to come back, number one.
Right. I know where you're coming.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of the problem. I mean, they don't really have any options. I don't think.
They've so screwed this up from how they did it, you know, disappearing in the middle of the night. It's obvious that they had no plans. And here's my big conspiracy theory. I think the Dems have done this to Biden on purpose. I think they've led him down this and naively to do this because I think the Dems want him to get out. I think they've had enough of him because he's not playing ball with a lot of their far left people.
Well, he is playing ball with far left people. I don't believe that for a second. The most scary thing that has happened is that we've been able to see in the Politico articles and other ones, there doesn't actually appear to be these super geniuses manipulating Biden for things. Biden's actually in charge, and that's the most terrifying thing.
And that's the worst possible scenario is that we've been wrong, and Biden is calling the shots.
That's why they might want to give him. Yeah, I don't know. You got to wonder if there's not something going on behind the scenes. Hey, Mark, thank you. Thank you for letting me just pick on you, too. Anybody else wants to comment, just go ahead and unmute yourself or call in 888-627-6008. This is from Sandra. What Biden did not only compromised our citizens, but he also compromised other countries' citizens. I agree, Sandra. I believe he's made enemies of the countries that we need as allies. Let me go on and go through a few of the more lies.
I got two more lies.
This I want to play, though. This is just kind of fun. As I said earlier, he just took questions from five reporters. They were pre-selected. But the reporters, in my opinion, were actually asking hard questions.
Which they supplied to Biden's people ahead of time.
Right. But, well, yeah.
Because he kept on turning pages.
Right.
I want to go on so-and-so. Yes, and then they turn a page where his
but at least they weren't shouting about ice cream. But if we could play, this is kind of funny. At the end, he just cut it off. If we could play the shouted questions videotape. This is kind of funny.
What happened? Thank you very, very much.
Why do you continue to trust the Taliban, Mr. President? Why do you continue to trust their pledges, Mr. President?
One more question, Mr. President, please.
Now, they haven't had to deal with that before. Irritated reporters shouting at them as they walk away. Instead, he's like, where are the phoning reporters? Doesn't anyone want to know what kind of ice cream I'm having?
In black clad suits and black masks, sort of looking like a diversified Jesuit corps.
Exactly. And then he called the lid for the day.
Time to party down in D.C.
Well, and then there's our final kind of lie that he told. And that is, well, number one, he didn't talk about the weapons seized. And he didn't talk about, he just basically continue just to pretend that everything was hunky-dory after he's telling this lie after lie after lie. And it was just interesting watching Jennifer Griffin, who's the Pentagon correspondent, but who's been in Afghanistan. And she was kind of getting a little bit into the weeds when she was talking about the fact that, you know, he was ignoring the reality of Afghanistan. He was ignoring that Al-Qaeda is there. He was ignoring that the U.S. doesn't have, whether we have troops there or not, some sort of strategic interest in Afghanistan, given the history and the terrorism threat and all of that. But if we could play, but she was, the look on her face just
incredulous.
Incredulous. If we could just play the Fox soundbite now too, Thomas.
Well, Sandra, I'm having a hard time digesting what we heard because I couldn't fact check it fast enough in real time because there were so many misrepresentations of what is happening on the ground. To hear the president talk about still having an over-the-horizon capability to see what is happening with the remnants of Al-Qaeda, ISIS-K, the Khorasan group, and even the Taliban, that would have required partners on the ground. And what we've seen in recent days is that those partners on the ground have been abandoned. They're in hiding. They're fearing for their lives. They've fled the country. We don't have partners. We don't have eyes and ears. The whole reason that U.S. military cannot leave the airport to go and rescue any Americans who are out in Kabul when British and French special forces can do so is that they don't have any partners left. They don't have partners there who can help them safely navigate. So I don't see how you can say that with a straight face, that they're going to be over the horizon capabilities to see the terror threat in Afghanistan when this is all said and done. The damage done to international relations, international standing, we heard, as you said, from international leaders around the world that NATO allies were gobsmacked at the sudden announcement and withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan.
I mean, and I'm trying to get a message here. I mean, it was just incredible. I'm trying to, Thomas, if you're there, I'm trying to send you a private message, which I'm not sure how to do. You might have Greg Lopez on the phone. Hey, Thomas, can you send me a private message so I can send you a private message? This is live radio. There we go. There we go. Chuck, so I can type this message
in. All right, Chuck. I still want to emphasize, you know, we've got, I don't have my days, 10 days till August 31st. But if those 10 days, there's no attack on that compound or outside the compound, then Biden will have drawn a royal straight flush because it would be so easy for all the bad actors in the world wanting to go to Kabul and just attack that incredibly sliver of remaining U.S. presence.
Oh, yeah.
And whether that'll actually happen, who knows? But he can just hang on to his luck and just hope that he may not get everybody out, but if not too many die in the process, then, you know, he's on to his next debacle.
Which would be, let's see, economy, COVID, you know, and again, I think with Mark Toffin, I know Charlene has mentioned this before too, you know, conspiracy theories, I'm not sure what to think right now. And I'm not sure which is more alarming. And I suppose, like everything, there's probably a little bit of truth involved. I think there's a little bit of Biden just incredibly incompetent and arrogant, surrounded by a bunch of people who think that they can actually go out there and say to a bunch of reporters who are colleagues reporting throughout the day, you know, on networks that people are watching live, all of this trouble and Americans getting beaten and people saying the Taliban is coming for me, et cetera, et cetera. And then have Joe Biden say, hey, all I got to do is get to the airport. I don't see what the problem is.
Let's just hold it up like this. The sea opens and there's no problem.
What kind of advisor, you know, would you have doing that? And so maybe they do. Maybe they're global interests that want to back China that just don't care. I also think anybody who thinks that the Democrat Party actually cares about them, this whole past 7 months should be an eye opener. They don't care about babies in Afghanistan. They're on their own, Chuck, and that's not even true. Don't believe your lying eyes. They don't care that your gas prices are going up. They don't care that your toddler, your freaking two-year-old has to wear a mask at daycare for no reason. I mean, they don't care about us. And I think this just shows, I think, you know, anybody who thinks that Joe Biden cares any more about our children than he cares about those Afghan kids being handed up over the wall, you're just deluding yourself.
Well, you saw the good parenting he did for Hunter, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, so I think we have Peg Cage. We're going to switch gears for a little bit. Peg Cage should be joining us on Zoom. I'm not sure if she's here yet.
She may not be able to do by Zoom.
She said she is. That's why I was doing. That's why I was asking you to talk. Oh, okay. I was conducting business live on TV.
The talking mouth was.
Okay. Yeah, you can go ahead and call her. I don't see her there. And in the meantime, then the other phone number is for Greg Lopez, if you want to call him too. So Peg Cage, as you know, is with Chuck and their merry band roaming the countryside.
Taliban-infested countryside.
That's right. Talking about how to save the Republican primary. And Greg Lopez, who is a candidate for governor, indicated that he wants to join, but he wants to call us to talk about this as well. So, Thomas, if you could call everyone there, why don't you explain what it is we're talking about, though?
Well, we're trying to save the Republican Party. It's about to disappear. The Democrats are now pouring millions into primaries to elect weak, squishy Republicans who will sign on to their horrid bills.
And then they do.
And then they do. And they did this last time. So we're trying to get it back so that only Republicans vote in Republican primaries. Not that anybody can't be a Republican. Anybody can sign up to be a Republican, no matter what your belief system. But we want to limit it so we can have at least the people of Colorado can have a choice between Democrats and Republicans.
Well, and here's the thing I would talk about this too. So, I mean, to set the stage, in 2014, a ballot initiative was passed, pushed, by the way, by a guy who's now under indictment for
2016
for fraud and things like that. And this is the way it used to be. You had to be a registered Democrat to vote in the Democrat primary and a registered Republican to vote in the Republican primary. That changed. So now anyone can vote in any primary.
Well, unaffiliated can vote in both the Democratic primary.
Well, I could vote as a registered Democrat. I think you could vote in the Republican primary. You could just vote in one.
No,
you have to unaffiliate. Okay. But at any rate, so what we want to do is go back to the way it was, because I think the question is, the first point is number one, that was back when, guess what, we were winning, right? So there's something to be said there. Secondly, it's if you don't like the Republican Party enough or its candidates enough to bother to register as a Republican to vote, I mean, it's a click. All you do is you go at the Secretary of State's office. It's not like it's hard. You just can sit there in your pajamas, you know, when you get up in the morning, drinking a cup of coffee and register. If you dislike the Republican Party so much that you don't want to affiliate with them, why should you get to vote in our primary? I mean, vote in the Democrat primary or don't vote.
The whole idea of the country was that the Republicans would give ideas and the Democrats and Libertarians and Greens and others, and you'd pick out who's one. It wasn't just to have a mosh pit with people who all don't believe in anything and you have no choice because you don't know what they mean. It's intended that the Republicans give you a different one from the Democrats. So there's no purpose for having Republicans and Greens and Libertarians. And everything
else. And we've seen how this plays out. The Democrats openly acknowledge that this is part of their plan to play in Republican primaries and to make sure that they elect what they call swinos, sort of swamp fake Republicans who actually then vote with the Democrats. And we've had folks
and they only do this in the hard Republican districts, and the other ones they get the weakest Republican nominated. But in Weld County and other hard ones, they get squish Republicans, often who run campaigns in front of pictures of Trump who they despise.
Right. Well, and then we've seen from the Liberty Scorecard people, when you actually look at the way they vote, they vote the Democrat ticket. They vote Democrat all the way through. So they're really, so there's no advantage. I mean, they call themselves a Republican, but then the facts show that all the way through they vote for Democrat proposals.
And sign on and co-sponsor
them. So we got Peg now on Zoom.
All right.
Hey, Peg, just so you know, we're trying to get hold of Greg Lopez. So he's speaking right now, so he's not answering.
Well, he's good.
He's
supportive of the campaign of Save Our Republicans. Peg, it's been a momentous week. We're getting more incoming shells from the establishment party of the Republican Party, and we're sending out our own missiles. Give us an update of where everything stands on Save Our GOP.
Well, I just have to say we have a beautiful state, and our government is worth saving and turning around. And I'm realizing just how big a project this is. And it's not just about opting out. It is about saving our republic. And until we get in there and turn around the talking points and take this party back for ourselves, we'll be in trouble, but we can do this. We've done this before. The Republican Party and Americans have taken a hard line, and the old saying is, if if not now, when? And if not us, who? We are here. We are positioned right now to make the case that the Republican Party has the best platform. We have the best government, if we can make a Republican form of government, a constitutional representative form of government. And this is what we're finding people want. You know, they don't want to be involved with the Republican Party that says, oh yeah, well, we messed up by allowing people to take over our party in 2016, but let's not change anything. Let's see if we can do better with them. And
we're on the verge of winning even more. Give me a break.
We're right there.
I don't want to say which county we're in meeting with the Zoom meeting. We're the Zoom meeting, and I was shocked. Because we've gone to 41 counties, and I didn't even hear this in Denver, but saying, well, we shouldn't identify ourselves as Republicans. You should be afraid to put a sign out in your yard.
They were saying that?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
No, ma'am.
These are Republicans saying?
This is leadership of a county.
Voting members of the county were saying that you know, we should include all these unaffiliateds because people don't want to be affiliated with the Republican Party because they're ashamed. I'm sorry. If you're ashamed, go away.
Be a Democrat. Yeah, go put a mask on your toddler and sit inside your house and wait for Biden to come rescue people in Afghanistan if that's what you want to do. Yeah.
Some of the challenges we faced. I mean, I must admit, I hadn't seen that face the Republican Party, except in the metro area.
Well, and they're buying into the PSYOP, right? I mean, that's the Democrat PSYOP. Yeah. And the people don't like Trump. There was a poll out by a non-Trump supporting organization that showed that if the election were today, Trump would win. Now, I submit Trump actually did win. Not really news, but people are unhappy. I mean, any Republican, that makes me riled. Any Republican who thinks it is buying into their PSYOP, and you got to ask yourself why. You got to ask yourself, what is their real motive? If you're a Republican for trashing your own party and saying you should not acknowledge to anyone that you're a Republican.
And then there was another one who's a campaign worker, if not manager, of a Republican running for Senate. And she was adamant. I mean, absolutely adamant. How could we think of not including unaffiliates? Because that's what the future is.
Right.
And I don't know about you, Peg, but I had to kind of go, wow.
Well, here's, let me read some of the comments. We're hanging with magic unicorns if we believe the open primary actually helps us. Exactly. That's from Dr. Donna. I mean, the Democrats proposed it. So I think just automatically, if the Democrats propose any kind of election law changes, we should just say no. And then Jacob says, this all started in 2018 when Republicans did not come out to vote because Trump was not on the ballot. Then Sandra suggested, maybe Chuck, you should explain this. I think you need to mention the county so people who live there can confront them.
No, because there are some nice people and I don't really want to attack.
Yeah.
It was kind of
one thing. Another thing that came out of that county was the comment by someone on our side. They don't understand the disenfranchising. How can you say that you are disenfranchising people who are not part of the franchise?
Yeah. Well, and they're not disenfranchising. You know, I've heard people say that. Well, here's the thing. If you're an unaffiliated voter and you want to vote in the Republican primary under this change, well, it's not even a change. It's going back to the way we did it when we were winning. So if you want to vote in the Republican primary, all you have to do is, like I said, sit there in your pajamas with your cup of coffee, your glass of wine, whatever, and go to the Secretary of State's thing, click, and just switch your registration. I mean, it takes like 3 minutes. And if you don't want to get the mail or whatever, all you have to do is after the primary vote, go back and unclick. You're not disenfranchising anyone.
I'm a little lost at people who cannot somehow handle getting some political mailers in their
I know. And Chuck, Greg says he's still waiting for the call.
Okay, maybe, hey, Thomas, you want to try again? We tried and he didn't pick up.
We'll have a four-way. Peg is a great supporter.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Peg, in the meantime, why don't you go ahead and, he has been trying. Maybe we had a wrong number. Okay, I'm going to give you, you guys apologize for some of the, like I said, you're watching the sausage be made. If you can text Greg, the phone number for him to call in is...
Okay, just a sec. I'm ready.
So, okay, 888...
888-627-6008.
Okay. Tell him to call in. And one of the reasons we want to talk to Greg is he's been running for governor really ever since the last election. He jumped out in front and he said this is something he wants to do. He supports this. You guys have growing support from various
key members.
That's a good way to put it. Key members.
And I think on Monday we'll be able to announce some more of the key members that are going in on the CalDAP. I do have to give our usual statement that is required as a SEC member, that I'm not supporting anybody in particular for the Republican primary. As much as I admire a lot of the people who are running, including Greg Lopez, but we stay neutral.
Oh, okay.
But that doesn't mean I don't admire.
Well, he's the only announced candidate right now.
No, there
are. Nope.
Oh, are there other ones?
Okay. Oh yeah, there's quite a few. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not running. sure? Okay, now sure. We have Greg with us. Hey, Greg. Greg Lopez, and we're just saying nice things about you. I gather you are down where, in La Junta right now today? Hey, Greg, you there? What? Greg?
Yes.
There he comes.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Running for governor is busy business. Hey, thank you for calling in. I gather you're in La Junta today, is that right?
That's right. I'm out here in Rocky Ford, actually, at the Arkansas Valley Fair.
Oh, yeah. That should be pretty cool.
Well, Peg and I were in that area just a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They got great watermelon and cantaloupe and everything out here.
That's what Sandra was just asking. You're having watermelon. Well, so Greg, you want to maybe give us your thoughts on this decision that you know, Colorado, the Republican Central Committee is going to have to make about turning the primary back over to Republicans, taking it away from Democrats, and maybe other options too. What's your take on the whole thing?
You know, I'm going to tell you, I think it's the right thing to do. I've looked at this. I've talked to some people, and from everything I'm looking at, I think it's time that we do give the Republican Party their ability to really control whose side. You know, I mean, let's be honest with everybody. We all know that the unaffiliated voters are already out. They outnumber us just by registration. So Right. Regardless whether they vote in a primary or not, we have to go out and talk to them. As candidates, we have to go out and talk to everybody. So they're not going to be offended if they don't vote in our primary, you know, because they know that they have the final decision. But I think, you know what? It's time to get the grassroots involved. It's time to get them to feel like they do really have a say in their candidates, and it's not being controlled by the establishment, not being controlled by those that could write the bigger check. It's about us, the people. We, the people. And I think it's time to give it back to them.
Well, tell us how your campaign is going. We know there are some big names who are appear to be running for governor if they haven't quite announced yet, but you've been in the battle for over a year.
Yeah, you know, Chuck, you remember last time I ran in 2018, everybody would say, hey, Greg, there's some big names coming at you. How do you feel about that? You know, and I say, no, that's okay, because at the end of the day, it's about who can connect with the voters. You know, so I've been here before, you know, and I'm not too overly concerned about who's going to step into the race, because ultimately it's whoever can connect with all the voters, someone that can actually meet the needs and concerns of all Coloradans. And so, you know, I look forward to a very good primary, and I look forward to becoming the next governor of Colorado, because I'm going to take Governor Polis out. Because I can tell you, as I travel the urban corridor, and I travel a lot, and I travel rural Colorado, everybody's ready. Everybody's ready for a change, and everybody's saying, Greg, this is, you truly understand who we are, and we're going to stand behind you.
I'm always interested in the establishment, because, you know, being on the executive committee, I've got to see him a lot more up close and personal, and the most elitist of the elitists, the most established, we need to bring in more minority voices. We need to bring Latinos in. And if you mention, for example,
Lopez?
What about somebody like Greg Lopez? You go, No. We can't, we're not talking about those kind of voices. We've got to represent Latinos and Blacks. with a nice white woman would do that, and there is all we need.
Yeah, no Casper Stockham.
No Casper Stockham. No Greg Lopez's. No Dave Williams. No. We must have suburban women. I guess
they're deficient in diversity.
and let me tell you why they say that. Right? If you notice, they're not attacking my experience. They're not attacking my resume. They're not attacking my characters. But the reason they don't want to support me is because they know they can't control me. They know that I'm not going to do anything that they believe should be done unless it's the right thing to do for Colorado. And that's one of the things that they fear the most, is someone that actually is going to represent the people, someone that's actually going to be out there representing all 64 counties, not just those elite, not just those that can write the big checks. You know, I'm a firm believer, guys, that it's about all of us, not just some of us. And that's why they don't like the voice that they're hearing coming out of Greg Lopez.
Well, here's the other one I hear whispered to me over the phone. They said, have you heard, this is from another prominent radio host, have you heard that Greg Lopez had a problem with his wife? And it's very, very, very scandalous. And Republicans should know that we can't support a person like that. And I'm going, wait a minute, what are you talking about? You know, that he had a spat. I can't remember what the thing was they brought up last time, that you and your wife had a bit of a spat 20, 30 years ago, and you're still happily married. I mean, it's just incredible.
It is. You know what? And it happened, you know, and my wife and I, we've been married 33 years. You know, we learned from that experience. And most of all, I was a sitting mayor, so every newspaper, every TV station knew about it. This is not a secret. You know, and I tell people, look, if you're married, you know it's hard stuff. You know it takes a lot of work, you know? And so, you know what? That's okay. You know, that just means I'm human. We make mistakes. But more importantly, like,
well, why don't you tell us what it was again? Because it was so minor that I couldn't believe it. But to just reiterate the horror. Well,
and I think here's the reason we want to do this, Greg, is not to put you on the spot, but because there is a whisper campaign out there.
All the establishment Republicans are throwing at you.
I know. Look, Lisa and I, you know, we've been married 33 years. This happened when we were 5 years in our marriage. And like I said, I was a sitting mayor, you know, and we had a domestic, you know, there was a push and a shove and, you know, the cops got called and they came in and they did their job. The thing is, we both got cited. I got a ticket and she got a ticket, and we both had to get the attorney to defend ourselves. But you know what? It was a learning experience. And I learned this, guys. You know, look, specifically in the Hispanic culture where the machoism is really, really big, you know, we need to respect our women. We need to love them and we need to cherish them. You know, and I'm not ashamed to say that I went to counseling, marriage counseling, and I came out there a better man because I understood what my wife needed. I understood that, you know what, as a man, I need to be not only there physically, but emotionally. And that's why we've been married 33 years. And I'm not ashamed to say it happened, because it made me a better man. And I will tell you that, you know what, at some times in life throws you a curveball. It determines how you make your decisions out of that.
Well, and you know what? Here's the thing. So remember the whole stuff about Jared Polis. The media didn't even bother looking into this until right before the election. He had, like, pushed and assaulted, essentially, an elderly woman, right? In a business kind of situation. Now, that was totally okay. That's not a problem with that. Problem with that
at all.
Well,
yeah, the people who tell me this about yours, none of them are not divorced people. So you know, you've been married 33 years and they want to lecture you that you and your wife had a tiff 30 years ago. The establishment's incredible in Colorado. There's no lower depth. So I just want to get that out and over with, because you're a great candidate, and I can't support anybody in the primary. And I'm sure there are other great candidates, and we're great to have you on, have them on too. But I do respect and admire you.
Well, and Greg, final question before we let you go, and then we'll get back to Peg. Where can people find out more about you? Where can they help? Where can they find out where you're going, where you're speaking?
Yeah, you know what? Go to my website, lopez2022.com. You know, go to there, and you'll always see where I am in my Facebook page and the website itself. Just to give you an idea, guys, next weekend, I will be in the State Fair Parade. We're going to be on a monster truck We're going to be on a monster truck that's dedicated to veterans. As you know, I'm a veteran.
We're going
to be on the State Fair Parade. And on the 5th of September, we're going to be in the Fiesta Parade down here at the State Fair. because it's acknowledging the Hispanic community. And as you know, 21% of the population of Colorado is Hispanic. So we're out there working hard. We're out there working hard.
All right, Greg, thank you for your time. Care. Thank you for your support. And we support, you know.
No, you just don't seem to get this concept.
I'm not on the central committee. Greg, thank you for your time.
All right, guys. You guys take care.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, thanks.
And I want to reiterate that any candidate for governor is welcome on this program.
We have told them that.
And we'll happy to give anybody a fair hearing. And I am remaining neutral.
Chuck is neutral.
Even our opposition is welcome on your show, I'm sure.
That's right.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not kidding when we say that, you know, unless, you know, we even have nut jobs. If you're like a nut job and you call up and you want to try to trick us, you can call up too. We can handle that. Well, I'm just saying.
Let's not go too overboard.
Anyone's voice is welcome, right?
No matter how crazy.
Well, it's hard for us to really take a high road on that front. Peg, where can, because we're starting to get close.
Let me give one more bit of announcement. Peg is going to be on with Randy Corcoran tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
At KNUS, 710 KNUS. Did you know that, Peg, or are we announcing this to you?
Well, I got a little warning a little while ago when she called.
And I'll be sending you the call in number. I've provided him your number.
All right.
And it's great. Randy's show is a great show to watch.
Randy supports this movement.
Yes, absolutely. In fact,
that should
be in our mailbox today, which I'm great looking forward to.
Excellent.
And but Peg will be on to kind of give the greatest
update. This movement is growing.
It's growing, and it's really really encouraging all the people I've met. Occasionally it's discouraging, like last night, but most of the time it's very, very encouraging.
Well, Peg, you've got some great resources and great websites for people to get information too. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So our website is mycoloradogop.org, and it would be a really good idea now to sign up on our newsletter. You can click on that and sign your name, get on the newsletter, because we're sending out information pretty frequently now. We want you all to be informed as to what's happening. We just sent out an email. Thank you, Dr. Donna.
Thank you.
Yeah. We just sent out an email that included the letter that Senator Kevin Lundberg wrote. And he was just saying, this is absolutely the right thing to do. And he's even saying, why are we going along with their unconstitutional 75%, which is a good point. I mean, why? The Republican Party has been so weak. And after traveling the state, I say, let's just stay with let's get the 75% vote and show them that the Republican Party is ready to stand up and have a spine and stand on our principles and our platform. And we want the grassroots involved. We can figure out how to do one of your Republican only primaries. And I cannot figure any good reason to stay in the state-run primary at this point until they figure out what happened in 2020 and they get all that straightened out. Where have we voted? Have we really voted in many years? Really? Yeah. I don't know. I've been writing articles about election integrity since 2016 when I started the website. So right. I've got the Don't Trust Colorado's Elections, if you want to go and read that. I've got one about Colorado's Elections or Fool's Gold or something like that. It's called Gaslighting or Fool's Gold. So anyway, go on to mycoloradogop.org, sign up, get the newsletters. We've got a survey on the website right now. We're trying to get people's opinions. If you want to leave a comment, I'll get that on the website and we can read what other people are saying about this movement. And it is a movement, Julie. You're calling it the correct thing because it's not just about the opt-out.
No.
It's about who's going to be in control.
Right, exactly. Peg, thank you. I know I can see firsthand how hard you guys are working. And, you know, it is incredible the amount of work and passion that you're putting into this. So thank you very much. And you too, Chuck, thank you. And I'm the minion. I'm the one who sets up Chuck on Zoom calls.
But... Chuck, he does a lot of work. She did enough work to get attacked. So there you go.
There you go.
You know you're doing
it.
All right, everybody,
thanks, Peg. Thank you, forward Peg. To listening to you tomorrow on Randy's show.
Well, I look forward to calling in. Thank you.
All right. You know, and here's the thing too, but it's not to me anymore, you know, just kind of circling back around where we started. You watch Biden's news conference. It's about the Republican Party platform, but I think here's where we can reach the unaffiliated voters. And that is, we care about you. Just look at what the Democrats are doing. They don't care about you. They don't care about what's going on in Afghanistan. They don't care about the American lives and the Afghan lives that were lost to, and then they just threw it all away. They don't care that they've armed the enemy. They don't care about any of that. They don't care about your gas prices. They don't care about your kids' education. All they care about is power and putting you down and controlling you.
And so same with establishment Republicans. I mean, instead of running on our platform, we've come up with commitment to Colorado, which was put together by, I guess, the legislatures along with.
It was
poll tested.
Yeah.
And all it is we want accountability and transparency. Well, what difference would that make?
Primary.
Is that different than anybody else? I mean, who says they don't want? Is a Democratic platform against transparency and accountability?
Yeah, they
don't have any, but does that mean
they don't actually say that?
I mean, I think it was a good idea on part of Kirsty Burton Brown, but. Just to have bromides and platitudes.
Wander around and point out to folks, hey, in Denver, property crime is up 49% over last year. It's like, you want more of that? Or do you want to maybe try something a little different here? Do you want, you know, to watch us be humiliated on the international scene? Or maybe, I don't know, call me crazy. Maybe let's try to do things with a plan. It's insanity. And the Democrats go further over the insanity and chaos and dangerous territory.
Well, if the middle was so important, the Democrats have gone to the incredibly far left and taken every seat that's been available virtually. Yeah. So, I mean, Republicans one day will have to fight, or maybe it'll be somebody else is willing to. But you can't just offer people bromides.
That's right.
You got to stand for something. And Mike, let's give them a chance.
All
right. Well, it's been Party Friday. We want to thank everybody who came on from Peg and Mark and Greg.
Let me once again remind folks that you can always catch the podcast and on Rumble too, but just go to chuckandjulie.com. That has links to everything. You can actually even link live there to the BBS site too. And if you want to subscribe, we appreciate everybody who subscribed to us already, but there's a link to that as well. Party Friday for us.
It starts right now.
It starts right in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. See you on Monday.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody.